Shemus Kadoshin, I see this was not done properly, that's because I did it. Okay, anyway, it took me, I should have asked one of you to help me, but okay. I wanted to see if I could do something on my own. And of course the answer is no. Look on Acharei Shemus Kadoshin, there's a lot of discussion among the Dolei HaPoskim what to do when we have these two parshas together, as we had this year. Acharei Shemus Kadoshin, just a short while ago, 2 weeks ago. Which Haftorah do we lay? Now you'll notice there are two Haftorahs. The one of Acharei Shemus is known as the Haftorah of Ir HaDomim. Take a look at the first few psukim in the Cheskel Chav Beis. Vayidvar Hashem Elai Leimor V'yatov Ben Adom HaTishpot HaTishpot Et Ir HaDomim. Unfortunately, Ir HaDomim refers to what city? The city of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. It's called Ir HaDomim. Vodata is called Tzorah Boseha. We're supposed to proclaim or publicize all the abominations in Yerushalayim. I'll continue a little bit. V'yamarta, ko amar Hashem Elokim, ir shofechet dam. Wow. Literally, an accusation is leveled against the populace of Yerushalayim that they are essentially murderers. V'yosa gilulim alei al-tama, that's the second avera, referring to, of course, avadas gilulim avadazara. And then, the Navi continues, b'domech hasher shafacht, ashamt, u'v'gilulayich hasher asid tomeit, so this is really a condemnation of the city of Yerushalayim. If you examine the psukim carefully here, you'll see there are three averos that are really being underscored, and they are avodah zarah, gilah arayis, and shfichas dam. I'm not going to go through all the details right now. Those are the three averos which, of course, the Jew is obligated to give up his or her life, the three cardinal sins, and that's exactly what, in effect, they are being accused of. So, is this the Haftorah that we learn for Acharei Shemus Kadoshin? So, it says for Acharei Shemus, that's the Haftorah. When the two are combined, we learn the second Haftorah. Take a look at the second Haftorah of Kadoshin. I'll just briefly summarize it. In Amos, the Navi says, Halokim de kushim atem li b'nei Yisrael nu Hashem. We are clearly to be distinguished from others by virtue of the fact that they Kushim refers to those who come from Kush, and they're recognizable by the skin color, and Klal Yisrael is distinct. Halos Yisrael ha'aleisim eretz Yitzayim u'flishtiyim b'kaptor b'arom yikir. And now let's just take a look at the major themes of this Haftorah. Hinei Hinei Hashem Elokim b'mamachach ta'av v'yishmati yosom mi'alpnei adamah. Again, clearly very harsh words directed against Klal Yisrael. We're going to be destroyed. Efes kilo hashmeid hashmidas beis Yaakov nu Hashem. But there won't be a total destruction. Lo hashmeid hashmeid. Ki hinei anochi mitzaveh. What is Hashem going to do? Bahaniosi b'chal agoyim is beis Yisrael. The word Bahaniosi comes from the Shoresh no banod. Essentially, we're going to go into Golos. We're going to be sent into exile. Kasher yinoa b'akvara. Just as you have a sieve, things are going to be shaken. Oh, thank you. V'lo yipol tzor aretz. The Navi continues, V'achereb yamusu kol chatoei ami. Those who sin are going to die in a very severe kind of way, through the sword. And then, the pasuk after, V'ayom ahu akim esukas dovet hanofalos. That refers to, of course, what? Is Hashem going to rebuild? Sukas dovet, we say it every sukkah, referring to the Beis HaMikdash. It's called Sukas David Hanofoles, the one that was destroyed. The Godad Yes Pirtseyam Bari Sosova Kim of Nisir Kime Olam. The man Yeshua Sheris Adom Chol Agrim Asher Nikosh Me Alehem. And then we have, as every Nevuah always has to be accompanied by some sort of Nechama. That's a halacha when it comes to reading Haftorahs or in general. A Navi cannot just simply go ahead and castigate and chastise Klal Yisrael. There has to be some accompanying words of solace, of consolation, of comfort. And that's what we see here in the middle of Haftorah. We're going to come back from the Golos. Even though there were cities that were rendered desolate, were literally waste, the Yashova once again will rebuild Eretz Yisrael. Will replant gardens. Unetatim alad masam will be replanted in Eretz Yisrael. Below you not sure alad masam Hashem nasati lem om Hashem lokecha. So there's a big to do when it comes to these two Haftorahs, Acharei Shemus Kadoshim in the Torah, Shulchan Aruch, in the Lavush, and many others. And let me just share with you the Gemara in Maseches Megillah, which you may be familiar with. The Gemara has a comment in Maseches Megillah. I'll just read part of it. There's a question: what do you do during a leap year? What do you do when you're laying them separately? Achremos, separate from Kedoshim. In general, the minhag in Litta seems to be you always lay in the Haftarah of Kedoshim. You do not lay in the Haftarah of Achremos. You don't lay in the Haftarah of Ir Hadomim. Says the Gemara Megillah, I'll just read the language of the Gemara. Maisa be'echad she'akori l'malam Rabbi Elazar b'to'ebet Yerushalayim. There's a fellow decided, no, I'm going to lay that Haftarah. The Haftarah of Ir Hadomim, castigating Yerushalayim, essentially leveling a lot of blame on Yerushalayim HaKadosh, as I mentioned a moment ago, three cardinal sins that we violated. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Reikon, you empty person, you shallow, vapid individual. Acha taboli b'to'ebet Yerushalayim, say u'dog me'imecha. Why don't you take a look at your own lineage to see if your yichus is in order? And the Gemara says, guess what? They looked into his lineage and discovered there were several psulim, several areas of his lineage that left about to be desired. The Gemara doesn't tell us what they are, but the point of the Gemara is that, or to put Rav Soloveitchik in his terminology, a Jew decides to buy matir for $25, and he thinks on that basis he has the right to go and castigate Yerushalayim. To go and literally throw barbs at Yerushalayim, projectiles at Yerushalayim, missiles at Yerushalayim, a fusillade of missiles. That's what he thinks he's doing when he reads this Haftarah, Bir Adomin. You have absolutely no right to do that, and that's why the practice is that in Acharemos Kedoshim, to read which Haftarah? To read the Haftarah of Pashas Kedoshim. And then Rav Soloveitchik went on to explain the following. Before I mention what he said, I want to tell you what I heard from Rabbi Druckman. Shav Refuah Shleima. Rabbi Druckman was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva that when I came to Eretz Yisrael, Yeshivat has there. I said Shurim there 25 years ago. And 25 years ago, when I said Shurim over there, so he told me the following story. He grew up in Rechavia. He's a man, Bliya and Hur, in his late 80s. He grew up in Rechavia. You're familiar with Rechavia there in Yerushalayim. There are a lot of beautiful homes there, usually owned by Anglo-Saxons, etc. Anyway, so they don't even live there half of that. They live in America, they live in England, live in Vienna and Austria, they live in Belgium, all kinds of places, but they purchased homes there, which is great. And so there was a Balkuri named Pappenheim. So this Pappenheim was an excellent Balkuri, Yerushalmi, and the minhag in that area, in Rechavia, and the shul that he davened in was Davka Tolein, Yir Adomim. So when he became the Balkuri, he decided, I'm not castigating Yerushalayim. I'm Yerushalmi, I'm not going to castigate Yerushalayim. So when the time came to land Haftarah, he learned the Pasha, Acharemos, Kedoshim, and then when the time came to read Haftarah, he disappeared. He somehow went out, and they couldn't find him. They went looking for him, because he used to read from a cloth, and not too many people are competent to read from a cloth. They found him outside crying out of control. They said, why are you crying? He said, I cannot land this Haftarah. I cannot castigate the city of Yerushalayim. I cannot level any Dibrei Tochacha to the city of Yerushalayim. I'm not Roy Lukach. This is the story Rabbi Druckman told me. So many had the practice to lay in Kedoshim. So now the question is why? So our salvation suggested the following answer. There's something in these two Pashiot that only appears the first time in the Torah, in Pashiot Achremel Kedoshim. Now if you know Chumash well, you'll be able to answer the question that I'm referring to. First of all, there's something common to both Achremel and Kedoshim. What's common to both of these Pashiot? Namely, what the topic that's primarily featured in both of these Pashiot? The answer is Arayot. All the sexually forbidden relationships are found in Acharemos Kedoshim. In one case, they are more or less listed. In the other case, the onesh, the punishment for these averot are found, because there's a fair degree of repetition between these two Pashiot. But there is something else that's also combined in the two Pashiot, that the end of Acharemos, the end of Kedoshim. Anyone know what I'm referring to? There's a verb that's used, very, very striking verb that the Torah uses at the end of Acharemos and the end of Kedoshim, very similar. The Torah says that if we don't observe, and the Ramban is the one who really stresses this, Ramban writes in Chumash, especially in Acharemos, one of the most famous Rambans ala Torah, where he speaks about the unique qualities of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael eino sovelet ovri avera. Go to Sifrei. Eretz Yisrael cannot handle someone who's an avarian, someone who's a transgressor. If you go ahead and do averas in Teaneck, New Jersey, okay, that's not a good thing. If you do it in L.A., also not a good thing. If you do it in Chicago, not a good thing. But it's not the same as Chas v'Shalom, someone doing an Aveira in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, Eino Sovel, Dovi Aveira. It means that in Eretz Yisrael, a Jew has to behave in a totally different, completely more elevated kind of fashion in terms of Chas V'Shalom not doing an Avera. Ad Kidei Kach. If we do Avera, specifically the three Averas in which a Jew has to give up his life for, that's what the Torah emphasizes, not only in the Haftarah here, but also in the Psukim and the Pasha. So the Torah says the following. It mentions, I'll just trouble you for the Chumash, so I can quote the Pasuk properly. The white Chumash. Over there, there's one. Thank you. So I'll read you the two Psukim that I found, as I said, both at the end of Acharemos and the end of Pasuk Kedoshim. Let's read the first Acharemos. The Torah says, if you follow all the above, you're going to become Tamei, and you're going to be Metame Eretz Yisrael. Vatoki ha'aretz es yoshvel. What will the land do? It will spew you forth. S-P-E-W. What does that mean, to spew you forth? It will expectorate you. It will spit you out. Ki es ka to evo so elo sudan she aretz ha'shel et nechem. The end of the Pasha. Vatid mo ha'aretz. That language of hakoa refers to a language of spewing forth. And that's what Rashi on the spot comments right away. Rashi says, Moshel ben Melech, Rashi gives a moshel to a ben Melech, she'achilu davar maos, and sometimes you eat something and your stomach does not agree with it. What happens? It is regurgitated. Kach Eretz Yisrael, ein mekayemes ovri avera. Eretz Yisrael will regurgitate anyone who's an avarya. Wow, what a statement. Look in Kedoshim now. You see the same idea is found at the end of Pasuk Kedoshim. In Perek, Chav Pasuk, Chav Beis. Ushmartem es kol chukosai v'es kol mishpatai. After the long list of avarayot, v'lo soki eschem ha'aretz asher ani mevi eschem sham al asher esbach. So Asalechi suggested that this is the reason why this Haftarah is chosen, because, in effect, what the Torah is describing here is one of the most probably dreaded punishments that any Jew could possibly expect. That is Golus. That will be extirpated from Eretz Yisrael, eviscerated, eliminated, or in a very simple way, thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. If we are thrown out of Eretz Yisrael and go into Golus, Golus is essentially Hester Punim. Tinek is Hester Ponim. Chicago is Hester Ponim. L.A. Eimala Daber. Hester Ponim writ large 28 times. It's chilled out of there over there. It's all Hester Ponim. Has no presence of Hashem is Baraki. Who's that? Bekoshi Tinek has. Chicago maybe a bit more. New York, forget about it. A lion's dead. I'm just being polite. So Golos is a dreaded punishment. And that's why Rasalechi thought that this is the Haftarah that's going to be read, namely the Haftarah Halo Kibnei Kushir, because what does the Navi say here at the end of the Haftarah? Something that I just read. V'shafti Yeshvus Ami Yisrael, once again we'll be restored to our homeland. Ubanu Arim Nishamos V'yashobu V'notu Kromim V'shasu Esyenam U'netatim Al Admasam, once again be replanted. V'lo Yinotshu Od Me'al Admasam Omer Hashem Elokecham. This is what motivated Chachmei Chazal, because as you understand very well, the Haftarah, the function of a Navi is not just to, as I mentioned, the Gemara says in Saita that when a person gives Tochacha, there has to be small Dochek Yami Mikarev. Okay, you can push away by saying Tochacha, but there has to be also Yami Mikarev. You have to show the person they're capable of, once again, of restoration. They're capable of coming back. They're capable of rebuilding themselves. That's the whole idea of what a Navi primary function is, not just to give musa, not just to give tochacha, but also to pick the person up from their bootstraps. Hisheva yipol tzadi v'kom. A tzadi can fall seven times, and each time, Baruch Hashem, the tzadi has the ability to once again rise and rebuild himself. On the contrary, Asaleshi once said a whole shiur, fascinating tshuva drasha. He said, he talked about Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was a well-known brigand, the Gemara says, prior to his meeting Rabbi Yochanan, and he was someone who was an outcast, or even a kind of lowlife. I'm not sure what's happening over here. But clearly his lifestyle left a lot to be desired. What is it, too cold, too warm?
They wanted it a little colder.
A little colder. Okay, that's wonderful. Anyway, so now the question is, is it better for a person to be a tzaddik yisrael elam, a tzaddik from birth, a congenital tzaddik, or is it better for to be someone like a Rosh Lakish who unfortunately fell into the doldrums, but then ultimately he was able to pick himself up? The kind of Yerida, the Tzarech Aliyah, the Ramban describes in Vayigash, probably familiar, the Sugi and Makis, and many Kabbalistic ideas are found in that idea as well. What's better? And it could very well be the Rav discussed this issue by Arichas in the Tshuva Drasha. Fascinating Tshuva Drasha. You might think that in some respects, Chazal say, the Rambam calls it Hilchos Tshuva. B'mokim Shema L'Tshuva Omdin, Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Yecholim Ma'amov. Why? Because about Tshuva had to undergo enormous amount of introspection. About Tshuva had to undergo enormous amount of, literally, friction. Essentially, he was involved in a struggle, a massive struggle. That's what Tshuva is all about. Tshuva is a real struggle. So sometimes you see people who are quote-unquote FFBs, and perhaps they're not in the same madrega as BTs. Because the BTs have to literally change their lives. And that means they have to really carefully examine their behavior under some electron microscope, and thereby, Baruch Hashem, they use their yirida, their descent, and that ultimately will propel them, will catapult them to even higher levels than perhaps they were before. That's what I've discussed, this very fascinating issue. There's a big discussion in Rishayim. That's not my issue right now. Anyway, the point is that the idea of Haftorah is to strengthen the Amunah of Klal Yisrael and Bias HaMashiach. Not that we should just simply feel that we are terrible people, full of vitriol, full of calumny, individuals who are not worthy. Chas v'sholom, that's not the idea. The idea is that a person should recognize his ability, potential ability to rise to incredible heights. And everything a Navi says comes to fruition. We say that in the Brachas of the Haftorah. V'dover echad midvarecha achor lo yashuv reikam ki kel melech ne'eman ota. I don't say rachaman. The Rav didn't say it either because it's v'ein chasima, so I'm a chasima, and the chasima sabrocha is baruch atah Hashem hakel ha'ne'eman b'chol d'vara. So what's rachaman doing there? So the Rav took it out. It's not even, it's minig agro. Okay, that's just a editorial comment. Anyway, so the idea of the Navi is to bring words of solace, faith, and encouragement. And even though here, as I said, the Navi doesn't really tell us how we're going to come back, the Navi doesn't tell us, and this Rav Soloveitchik discussed a number of times, he pointed out something amazing. It's a Ramban and Chumash as well. Everything's in the Ramban. Ramban comments, Vashimosi ani esaretz. Bishomwa le'oivechem ha'yoshim bo. What a Ramban. Ramban says that many, many nations of the world will attempt to colonize Eretz Yisrael, as you undoubtedly are aware. Eretz Yisrael was taken over by not just the Ottoman Empire. Who else attempted to colonize Eretz Yisrael? The Germans. Who else? The Turks. The Brits. The Brits attempted to colonize Eretz Yisrael, but he's in the arms of Morpheus. Anyway, Bekitzer, so there was an attempt to... No, he's not here. Sorry, I thought he was here. Attempted to colonize Prince William. He's not here. Anyway, Bekitzer, they attempted to colonize Eretz Yisrael. He wants to move to America, though. Why? I don't get it. I just don't get it. I've been discussing with him about umpteen times. But he's convinced that America is the oasis, the land of plenty. Gan Eden
Natachto. The American dream.
What?
The American dream.
American dream, correct. And basically, what is England?
Cloudy,
correct. Cloudy and rainy, dismal, grotesque, bizarre. So what's the point? Israel moved to America. Why does he not consider living in Eretz Yisrael? That would be the ideal, according to my humble opinion. Okay, but what can you do? I imagine by tomorrow morning when he comes to the Kohen Chabur, he'll have heard about that, and he'll have what to say. Say it again more. Anyway, good. So the point I'm trying to make is simply that this is the reason for this Haftorah. The one that we read is Dafka, the one that's in Kedoshim, as opposed to reading the one that's in Parshas Acharemos, because we have no right just to castigate Eretz Yisrael. But the point the Rav was making in the Haftorah is that Vashimosi is Midishaych, and many, many countries attempted to colonize Eretz Yisrael. It's really, if you study the history of Eretz Yisrael, as I said, many empires over the course of several hundred years, they were totally unsuccessful. What is so amazing, not just Gush Katif. What's so amazing is that once the early pioneers came to Eretz Yisrael, Chabal, that the pioneers were not necessarily observant Jews. They weren't from. But those that came to Eretz Yisrael, let's say 100 years ago, maybe more than 100 years ago, it's amazing the Nisei Nisim that we're Zohar to see in the course of the last 100 years in Eretz Yisrael, the fructification of Eretz Yisrael, the prosperity, literally, they drained swamps. There was malaria here, every kind of disease imaginable, and they simply had incredible hatzlacha. So the Rav said, that's a key of the Ramban. He didn't see the chiddush. But it says, as long as v'shamu alel oyvechem ayoshim bo. You know that pasuk. Right here. Take a look. Anyone have a chumash? Oh, you don't believe a chumash. You know it all by heart. Anyway, so here the pasuk says, v'shamu alel oyvechem ayoshim bo. And because it mentions in the context of that pasuk, this is also fascinating. V'ezchem ezoreh bagoyim. What does Hashem say? I will spread you. I will send you into Golus. But okay, that's what's important here is just, we're about to read the Pashas in Bahabuch Kosa. I assume you're aware that the Tochacha is there. I imagine you have some idea. Anyway, so there you'll see also the same concept, the same Yesod that the Torah describes. Take a look, for example, if you have a Chumash. If you don't have, there's no point reading it. But here you have, the Torah says very clearly, it speaks about, in Perech Avav, you have Perech Avav? Perech Avav, Pasuk Lamed Beis. That's where this is found, in Bahabuch Kosa, this is Pasha. Where the Torah says that we're going to go into Golus, and then what's going to happen? V'nasati yisarechem chorba, v'ashimosi yismikdushechem, v'ashimosi ani yisarech, v'shomu ala oivechem ayushim bo. The Ramban says it right there, on that pasuk. That it's going to be a state of shmama, a state of desolation, which means that Eretz Yisrael is waiting for whom to come back to it? Am Yisrael. We are the ones who, in effect, belong here in Eretz Yisrael, and the nations of the world do not belong here. And that's exactly why we lay this particular Haftorah, namely the one in Kedoshim. But the one in Kedoshim, in effect, tells us that eventually we're going to, Baruch Hashem, come back to Eretz Yisrael. That's the Amunah we have in Hashem Yisbarach, Netzach Yisrael, Lo Yishaker, and the Amunah in Bias HaMashiach, and the Amunah in restoration of Eretz Yisrael to its former glory and splendor, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. All that is actually telescoped in that Haftorah of Parshas Kedoshim. And that's why when we have a Chemes Kedoshim combined, we learn the Haftorah Pash Kedoshim and not the Haftorah Pash Achremos. Let's go to another Haftorah, the Habakkuk Kosai, since it's this week. Yeah?
But just to be saying, until all the Jews come back there, so then Mashiach could finally...
I didn't say that. That's what you said.
Yeah.
I didn't say that, Bichlal?
No. Yeah.
I did indicate that the ultimate hope is that we're all going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. And how the halavai should be, you'll hear on Sunday night. Rabbi Olshin mentioned a very outstanding Talmud Chacham, a wonderful chaver. He davens in my former shul, Moshe Lichtman, who's written many, many books on the topic, and he's very passionate about Eretz Yisrael. He and I have had an ongoing machlokes over the last several decades. If you meet someone, a young woman, for the purpose of marriage, of course, there's no other reason why you should meet young women. Even though Kalev kind of read people here in the yeshiva don't think that way. Okay, let me shut in. But anyway, so the at least they didn't think that way at one time. Maybe they've done tshuva by now. The kids are so the like all the lavim that are involved. So assuming that you meet someone who hopefully you'll be able to be compatible with in terms of marriage, and they don't want to make aliyah, should you marry such a person? So they asked Avishai David this question, and he told me, Avishai David, that if it's a wonderful person, beautiful character, proper bidos, marich terah, tzonua, in every respect, and all the other milas that one needs, why should you marry her? The answer, Rav Moshe Lichtman Shlita, he said, if she doesn't want to make aliyah, don't get involved with her. Wow. That's a pretty strong statement. Many svadim would be in deep water, deep trouble. Because they see Flatbush as being the, they see Flatbush for a deal, for L.A., for Great Neck, and the Sfarim say, the Ashkenazim say, Uvnei Mansi, Ir HaKadosh, Meher B'Yameinu. Mansi is like Ir HaKadosh. Okay, they're both mistaken, what can we do? Sfarim and Ashkenazim, but okay, this we have a machlokes between myself and Rav Moshe Lichtman Shlita. It's good to hear him, Mitzvah Hashem. I hope you'll enjoy him on Sunday night. Now going back to the Bahabrach Kosei, take a look at the Haftorah, let's just summarize it, and then we'll explain the connection here also. In the Haftorah Bahar, this is one of the most famous Haftorahs. I assume you're familiar with it. I assume everyone studied Yirmiyahu HaNavi at one point or another. I hope it wasn't before you were born, hopefully after you were born. But anyway, in Yirmiyahu HaNavi, the Navi tells, Hashem tells the Navi to do something which is incredibly striking. Yirmiyahu is one of the Navi of Korban, as you're undoubtedly aware. gloom and doom. That's what Yirmiyahu is all about. They did not like him. Klal Yisrael did not like Yirmiyahu HaNavi. They don't like people who predict or who are forecasting doom and gloom. And they attempted to do essentially what, unfortunately, in Tanakh we find, namely, eliminate him. Pshuto kimashmo. Right before the Churban, and Navi is predicting Churban. What does Hashem tell him to do? Look in the Pesukim. Vayom Yirmiyahu, hoyod v'Hashem elai v'imo. Hini Chanamel ben Shalom dodicho aboyi lecha leimor. Chanamel, your uncle, would like to purchase a piece of property. Now, who in heaven's name is going to purchase a piece of property when you know that the entire country is going to be decimated, destroyed? Churban HaMikdash, Churban Eretz Yisrael. Who would buy property? You would not. You're too wise and too smart. So why in heaven's name is the Navi being told by Hashem Yisbarach to purchase a piece of property? So of course the answer, by the way, all this next series of Psukim, by Yavoy Elai Chanamel Ben Dodi Gzimah Hashem, by Yavoy Elai Kinei Nos Sodi Hashem Anosos, Kilchom Mishmar HaYerusha, Voeknes HaSodi Yivyo buys the field, not too good of an investment, Voechto Basefer Voechto Voeid Eidem, and then the Sefer HaMikna, those Psukim you have here, three Masechtas and Shas, maybe four, all of Gittin, good parts of Tzuvus, good parts of Baal Basra, right in those Tukim over here. All the Dinim of Kinyonim, and Shtoros, and Echasima, and the like, mind-boggling. And then it continues. What in heaven's name is going on here? He was told to save the Sefer HaMikta, put it into a Kli Cheres, Leman Yam Yom Rabin. Those who learned Gittin last year, remember that Gemara. When it was started in Kli Cheres, Leman Yam Yom Rabin. Do we learn Gittin last year? I believe so. That's a clear Gemara. What's the point? That there's going to be a future, even though now it's Churban and destruction, very similar to what we just spoke about. So the Rav said, there will be a future. A kind of Yerid L'Tzarech Aliyah. I'll give an example. There was someone who purchased property, I think, if I'm not mistaken, 70 years ago, he basically bought out all Beit Shemesh. Guess what he is today? Not millionaire, billionaire. Beit Shemesh was literally a wasteland. I think it was built maybe, how many years ago? Maybe in the 50s. And he bought property there 80, 90 years ago. And now his family, of course, owns that property. And they are multi-millionaires. That's what you people do. The smart people. Baruch Hashem. All of you should do that. There's a Gemara in Hamafkin. Gemara says, Ksofim ein lehem shmira ela bekarka. You know that Gemara? The third peg of Bava Tzia. You want to preserve kesef, what do? Put it in a vault. But their vaults were where? Underground. Bakarka. That means you want to invest. Invest in what country? In Eretz Yisrael. Property here only goes up. Nothing goes down. Isn't that crazy? So I hope you'll all invest in Eretz Yisrael. And trust me, you won't be... No, it will be a good investment.
Believe it.
So that's what the Navi here told. He purchased a piece of property, and guess what this tells us all about? Goes through a whole song and dance. And the end, on the next page again, thank you. Essentially, what the Navi is saying, that it's all going to come back. Now, take a look at the Haftarah B'chukosai, which is the one after. Hashem Uzi Uma Uzi. Everyone have that? The last page here. Hashem is my refuge. B'yom Tzara. Eilecha Goyim Yavo Me'afsi Oretz V'yom Rachshek Anachala V'aseinu Hevel V'enbom Mo'il. And Hashem, in effect, tells us what's going to be. V'shamatato v'chom enachalosra. I'm skipping over here. And there's going to be a burning that's going to take place. Kol Hashem ora geva sheivtach v'adam v'son basa zroo. If you don't believe, you're not bitochen that Hashem is brach, and you have bitochen a human being, it's absolutely aloitzim yalavonim. It's going to be purely to waste. Baruch geva sheivtach v'Hashem. And then, of course, at the end, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, Kol Oizvecha Yevoshu, V'surai Baratzi Kasevu, Ki Ozu Mekor Chaim, Es Hashem, V'fein Hashem, and Erofi. Again, it ends on a positive note. There's a lot of negative, and then it ends on a positive note. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested, what's the link between the Haftorah that I just read to you in Bechukosai, which is the Haftorah that we read, and the Parsha of Tzachocha, which is what we're going to read this coming Shabbos? So he suggested the following pasuk: Kisei Kavod. I don't know if you see it over here. Marom Be'Rishon Mikom Mikdashenu. If you look on the last page, two pesukim from the end, Kisei Kavod, Marom Be'Rishon Mikom Mikdashenu. And then they have again two other pesukim that are of a very positive nature. So the Rav said, there's an idea that's expressed here. He called it the double image theory. It was very creative, Rav Soloveitchik. What does it mean, the double image theory? If you remember Yaakov Avinu, do you recall? In Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Shova, Vayel Chamana, Vayifka Bamakom, Vayolan Shom Kibu HaShemesh, Vayikach Me'avne HaMakom, Vayasim HaShem Sov, Vayishka Bamakom, Ahu Vayachlom, he has a dream. What's the dream? Sula Mutzav Arza, Rosh HaVagia Shamayma, and then Malachi Elokim come, and what do they tell him? Anochi Elokei Avicha, don't worry Yaakov Avinu, Hashem is with you, Hine Anochi Imach, Ushmatim Chal Asher Telech, Vashi Vosicha La'adam Azos, you're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael, and then Vako wakes up. That's what the pasuk says. So what do we see over there? There's a Gemara in Chulin that Soloveitchik quoted that it says Sula Mutzav Arza, and he had a dream and he saw what Malachim Olim Yordim, and Chazal Rashi quotes already there in Chumash. Malachim of Eretz Yisrael could not leave Eretz Yisrael. Then he came to Chutzlars. Malachim of Chutzlars had to be Malavad Yaakov Avinu, had to escort him. Different group of Malachim, different set of Malachim. But the point that the Rasalaji was saying is that, and this is what the Gemara says in Chulin, Ziv Ikunin Shal Yaakov Chakuk Al Kis Yaakov. Yaakov has a dual element to him. Each Jew has a double image to him. There's an image Lamata down here and an image Lamala. Every institution has a double image. The rabbi used to say, he quoted the Zohar, you know this pasuk occurs twice in Chumash, I imagine. You're familiar with it, my father, Vashon, was on this case. Wow. Twice in Chumash, there's a pasuk, more than one. But this pasuk occurs, it happens to be in this week's Parsha. So that's why I assume you're familiar with it. Last pasuk in Bahar. Eshapsosai tishmoru midoshi tiro ani Hashem. Where else is that pasuk found? In Kedoshim. Twice in Chumash. Why? Why is there a need to repeat a pasuk in Chumash? Look at the last pasuk in the Bahar. You believe me? Only Uriel believes me. And then the Kedoshim Perek Yutes pasuk Lamed. Eshapsosai tishmoru midoshi tiro ani Hashem. The identical pasuk. That's for another discussion. But why does it say Lashon Rabbim Eshapsosai tishmoru? So the Rav quoted the Zohar that the Zohar said there are two Shabbosim. There's Shabbos Tator and Shabbos Ilor. There's the lower Shabbos down here, and then there's the supernal Shabbos up there. A transcendental, high-level Shabbos, and the person can actually, to a large extent, either have a Shabbos Ilor or Shabbos Tator. Shabbos Tator means the person doesn't do any work on Shabbos, but doesn't really have any appreciation of what Shabbos is all about. I think I mentioned already a few times, I don't know, 10 years ago it must have been. There's a guy, a Shana Al student at this yeshiva. I was here for Shabbos. I used to come three times a year. You probably never saw it because of the corona. But anyway, I came the first Shabbos, the middle Shabbos, the last Shabbos. Middle Shabbos is always an alumni Shabbos here in Eretz Yisrael. And I came the first and the last. A guy who I knew, I think it was the middle Shabbos. So this Shana Al guy, I see him every Shabbos because I came 2 or 3 hours early. And then I didn't see him the rest of Shabbos. He disappeared. So I encountered him in Mosei Shabbos. He came for Abdullah. Very nice of him. You know, they have a nice, they like to sing the Abdullah, all kinds of beautiful songs and the like. And so I asked him, where were you? So he said, Rosh Hashiva. I'm sorry, I fell asleep on Friday night and didn't wake up to Mosei Shabbos. Wow, that's quite good. How many hours is that he slept, approximately? What? 25. That's 24 hours approximately. So I said, he said, but you should be happy that I wasn't Mechal Shabbos. That's what he told me. And as he observed, Shomar without Zohar. No Zohar, no Kiddush, no Davening, no Cholent, no Kugel. No, I don't know what else there is. Hamin. So that's what the Zohar talks about. There's a Shabbos Tatol. Okay, you don't do any work. That's not what Shabbos is all about. The person on Shabbos, their emotional, spiritual height should be elevated considerably. That's what the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban quotes in the Chumash. And there's a beautiful Sefer. I think I mentioned once or twice that there's a Sefer called Sidur Shel Shabbos, Chassidus Shel Rebbe. And I was very connected to him when I learned in Itri some 45 years ago. He's buried in Tzfat. I used to go to his kever quite often. But then I realized he wrote Sfarim. He wrote a Sefer Al-Torah. That was of interest to me. And then he also wrote a Sefer called Sidur Shel Shabbos, where he describes the beauty of Shabbos. And this fellow apparently, starting already Wednesday morning, he began to prepare himself for Shabbos. By Thursday, he started getting more excited. By the time Friday came about, he was dancing and singing and prancing all over the place. And on Shabbos, there was like an unbelievable kedusha to this individual singing Zmiras for Shabbos, saying the Torah. It was the most beautiful. And it took him a long time to come down from that lofty perch. Till Tuesday night! And then Nochamo started on Wednesday. That's the whole Sefer Sidur Shel Shabbos. A gorgeous Sefer. Came out in the Lushin a number of years ago. And it's good to look into that Sefer when you have the chance. Because you're always busy learning Talmud Nishrat or Eilu Dvarim, Baruch Hashem. That's more critical, but he would advise you to do that also. Whatever the case is, there are two types of Shabbosim. So our salvation thought that here in this Haftorah, and this is in light what we mentioned a second ago, the same Yisod is found over here as well. Namely, the Haftorah, Kisei Kavod Morim Rishon Mikom Mikdashenu, that we're talking about literally. Eretz Yisrael has a physicality to it, but to us, the Beis HaMikdash is not just a physical structure. The way the Gemara says in Maseches Tainis, there's Yushalayim Shalmata, Yushalayim Shalmala, and the Beis HaMikdash Shalmata is Mechuvin Negev Beis HaMikdash Shalmala, and that's what we're looking for. When we want Kodesh Baruch Hu to restore the Beis HaMikdash, Kisei Kavod Morim Rishon, it's with the full blast of the Shechina, the full blast of the incredible Simcha of feeling the Tnei Hashem. That's a sense that one has in Eretz Yisrael that one does not necessarily have, neither in Tinek, Lahavdil Mi'avalfe Abdullahs, and in LA, forget about the Abdullahs, it's just too many to count, and in Chicago, V'chul. I want to turn to Pasha, the Haftorah of Nemor, just to show you what Rav Soloveitchik said over here. Here is absolutely gorgeous, and because we have some Kohanim here, you'll have an appreciation. Emor, of course, as you know, getting of Emor is all the dinim of Kohanim, dinim of Tumah V'Tara. And that's the connection to the Haftorah here in Yecheskel Mem Dalet, where, take a look, Yecheskel Shinpei Aleph, page Shinpei Aleph, V'akonim Alvim B'nei Tzodok, Asher Shomris Mishmeres Midoshi, Hei V'yiku V'elai V'shoseini. They're the ones who are the Mishrasi Hashem. Hem Yavol Migdashi, Hem Yikru El Shoni L'Shoseini. And it continues in terms of the Big Day Kuna they have to wear. Going on to the next page, Shin Pei Beis. And now I want to show you on the top of Shin Pei Beis a number of the halachas that relate to them. Roshem Lo Yigalechu, Fera Lo Yishalechu, Kasom Yisim Wes Roshayim. Yayin lo yishu kol koin bavom el chatzah apnimis. They can't drink wine. You're aware of that. Yayin b'shekel al teish atol vanecha itach. That's a pasha that's found in the wake of Nadav Aviyu, the death of Nadav Aviyu, and that's a din in Shulchan Aruch. The almon or gusha lichulam l'nashim. Of course, they can't marry an almon or gusha. Kim besulos. Can go to marry a besula. And then the Navi then goes on. Here's what the Rav spoke about. And this is amazing. If you see the psukim I'm about to read, see where it says on the side, L'mishpat Yishpatu? Everyone see that? So now, the Rav pointed out that Kahuna is a very fragile institution. You may or may not be aware, perhaps you are. Who was the one in Tanakh who attempted to restore the Kedushas Kahuna? One specific individual who probably was responsible more than anyone else for trying to once again resuscitate the lineage of Klal Yisrael, especially there was a tremendous amount of assimilation. And there were many actually efforts to destroy and completely topple the whole concept of Kahuna, which is a very fragile institution, and therefore the Navi addresses himself over here to the defilement of Kahuna and the like. And so I just want to mention which Navi was the one who really was probably somewhat responsible for restoring that incredible institution, Ezra HaSofer. If you haven't learned Nehemiah, Ezra Nehemiah, I taught Ezra Nehemiah here a number of years ago. I teach Tanakh in the yeshiva many, many years ago. I taught a lot of things in the yeshiva. I'll just leave it at that. So here, there are now the following psukim. Look at the psukim, next series of psukim. You see where it says, V'yas'ami yoru ben kodesh techol. You have it? U'vein tome le tohor yodiyum. V'yal riv heima yamdu le mishpat. V'mishpatai yishpetuhu. V'yas torosai, v'yas lukosai, v'chol mo'ada yishmoru. V'yas shapsosai yikadeshu. So I'll let you point it out beautifully, that these psukim come to essentially teach us the function of Kohanim. I assume you're aware that the Kohanim were divided into 24 Mishmaros, and each Kohen, when you actually boil it down to practicality, how much did each Kohen work in the Beis HaMikdash? Maybe 2 weeks a year. So the Rav made a chishuv. So now the question is, what in heaven's name were they doing the rest of the time? Collecting unemployment? What was going on over there with the Kohanim? So the answer, of course, is, what's the primary function of Kohanim? To teach Torah to Klal Yisrael, to be a member of the Sanhedrin. How do we know that? Psukim in Chumash. Namely, in Parsha Bezeis HaBracha, which I assume you're familiar with, even people who are not Bali Kriya tend to know how to read Bezeis HaBracha, as I've discovered in my lifetime. Namely, the Torah there speaks about Ulevi Amar Tumecha Burecha Lish Chasidecha Asher Nisi So Bimasot Tiriveu Amim Livo. Omer li aviv li mo lo receive yesecha lo yikir vesmano lo yada ki shomeru imra secha uveri secha yintoru. There's a shvanach over there. Anyway, so you have to be cognizant of the fact that they're the ones who maintain the masorah of Klal Yisrael. They kept the bris milah uveri secha yintoru. And now the Torah tells you what is their function, and what does it say right after that? Yoru mishpatech li Yaakov. What's the primary function? Yoru, not to shoot. That's also the term Yoru. But what does Yoru mean? Horah. What does Horah mean? Teach Torah. Sanhedrin has to be constituted of Kohanim and Levim. The whole Sefer Devarim is full of that. But Yoru Mishpatech Le Yaakov, they teach the Mishpatim to Yaakov, Bisaras Le Yisrael. They also have a secondary function, not their primary function, which many assume is their primary function, preeminent function, namely, Yosimuk Torah V'Apecha V'Chaliyah Mizbechecha. That's a secondary function, said the Rav Zatzal. Secondary, because they worked in the Beis HaMikdash 2 weeks a year. So what was the primary function? How do we know that? From this Haftarah. Take a look at the Lashon. That's what he pointed out. V'yasami yoru ben kodesh techol. That was their major function, to teach Torah. Uven tomei letohor yodiyum. That we know who is, you are familiar with Tazvi and Mitzorah. Maybe you learn all Mishnais and the Goyim, which are not easy. But if you know the Pesukim in Chumash, who's the one who declares whether someone is Tahor or Tamei? Only a Kohen has the right to issue such a declaration. V'yariv, heimo yamdu l'mishpat. They're the ones who basically judge Dine Torah, the members of Sanhedrin, or the Bati Dinin. B'mishpatai yishpetu, v'yas tarasa, v'yas chukosai, b'chol mo'ada yishmoru. Who declares the mo'adim? The answer is the Sanhedrin. They are members of that august body. That's their function. And that's what the Navi here is underscoring and accentuating, and that's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out over here in the context of this Haftarah, which is very much connected to the Pasha in the most beautiful kind of way imaginable. Okay, I have to actually stop because I have to say a shiur somewhere, and I the other day was a bit late. So, whatever you have to do over here.